Wah. I just want to make a weird noise. So at the end of the podcast, we're going to be talking with William Shatner. That's
gone!
Right. William Shatner hung out in the studio with us, and we've got like a ton of great, great stuff that we talk about. So after the podcast, listen for that interview right after the Big D and Bubba sing-along jingle to finish the show. So here we go. Into the regular podcast now.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast,
the podcast,
the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Here we are again, kids. The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. As we are sitting here in the beautiful, lovely, and amazing O'Reilly Auto Parts studio, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. And I have a gold for you. It's not really a gold, but it's...
Hey, this is William Shatner, and you're listening to Big D and Bubba.
When William Shatner came in, we forgot to have him do a drop for us. So the only one we have is him saying that on the phone, even though he was sitting here in the studio with us. Like, why would we not do that? And we didn't get him to sign our guitar. Like, we have a guitar that we do for charity and all that kind of stuff. Having William Shatner on there brings the cost and the value of it.
All of the time he had. On the air. We didn't, you know.
On the air, yes.
Yeah. We were also all a little shell-shocked.
I was also
William Shatner.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is he didn't want to leave. Like, no. I thought it was great. William Shatner hung out with us, and we did the part on the air, and it was done. And he hung out for another 2 hours in the studio. Like, I took a selfie with him, and it was right before I had to. I'm like, man, I got to go. And I'm like, I asked Patrick, I said, do I dare ask him for a selfie of just he and I? And he's like, well, what can you do? Tell you no. So I was like, good point. So I walk in there. He's sitting on the sofa in the green room, and he's got his feet up on the ottoman, and he's very comfortable looking. His arms crossed, fingers interlocked, and he's on his thing. And I said, Bill, is it okay if I take a selfie with you? And he goes, as long as I don't have to move.
He said it with a little bit more of a smile
goes,
than that.
Yeah.
As long as I don't have to move.
As long as I don't have to move. So I'm like, perfect. And I sat down. We took the picture. Even though he said that with a smile, he still looked grumpy in the picture, which is awesome.
I like to think he was just chilled. He was really chilled out.
He was so chilled. He was like, he was cool.
I had a personal fail as he was here for like the entire hour on the show, and I did not once bring up Dodgeball, which is one of my 10 favorite movies of all time. And he has such a pivotal role in that movie. Playing himself, basically. Oh, it's so...
He was great in Boston Legal. We never talked about that. I mean, we didn't talk about a whole bunch of stuff
Make
with
me
him.
Promise if we ever have Chuck Norris on the show that we talk about Dodgeball.
All right.
Maybe the greatest role of Chuck Norris's entire career.
I don't remember Chuck Norris' actual lines. I don't remember Chuck Norris in Dodgeball.
He's the one who makes the deciding vote on whether or not they can play the final after the team captain shows up late. So they go to the first guy says yes, and the one says no, and the final vote is going to rely on the hands of Chuck Norris. And they go to Chuck Norris, and he just smiles and gives a thumbs up. That's his whole role.
Wow.
And it's so great. Thank you.
Like, it's a great
cameo. Thank you, Chuck
cameo.
Norris. Yes, it's fantastic. Because it gives you the two best lines in two of the best lines in the movie.
Big D just had to spray down the studio with Lysol.
It is.
Like this microphone, I'm breathing it.
I'm
like
trouble.
It's like we're getting all these fumes. I understand that we've killed whatever germs are in here. However, we're now infecting ourselves with some nasty chemicals from the Lysol, man.
Speaking of almost dying, I want to talk about something big that's about to happen in our lives and how it's going to negatively affect all my personal relationships and my health. We found out yesterday. By the way, Bubba, how did you find out?
Because there was a big sign.
They put the sign?
The
I hadn't seen
yes.
it.
Yes, there's a sign at
that
the street.
That about
it's a
500
vinyl sign.
Feet away from our studio, they are building a Chick-fil-A. I mean,
now,
close enough to where if I tried hard, I could throw a rock at
and
it.
And didn't we talk about your Chick-fil-A card and everything on the podcast? So people who are in the know your
Chick-fil-A
addiction.
Chick-fil-A red status. I am a Chick-fil-A super fan.
And a super customer.
I'm a great customer.
You know, there are restaurants that will put your face on the wall if you spend amount of money. And I feel like Chick-fil-A needs to offer you
and
that
also,
at
we
some
found
point.
Out that Chick-fil-A has some kind of like black card that you can only get if you're... You know, if the owner of the Chick-fil-A knows you personally because you're in there so much, I'm like, well, I don't know whose franchise this is going to be, but I'm going to know that guy on a first-name basis. It's not going to take long. Just telling you. Because it's so close. I can order on the app while sitting at my desk. Take a leisurely couple of minutes, walk out to my car, drive there.
You don't even have to drive there, honestly. You could walk there.
You could walk. It would take...
No. Patrick is not walking to Chick-fil-A.
But like two-tenths of a mile.
Theoretically, he could walk
there.
There's
a hill. I'm not walking up and down the hill. It's not happening.
Patrick calls me yesterday. He goes, so I just like you to remember me as I am now, not 400 pounds.
Yes, because the thing is... When they open this Chick-fil-A, you're all going to look back and remember this guy as the skinny Patrick. This was me before they opened a Chick-fil-A close enough to the studio that I could drive to. Carson goes, well, they have grilled stuff. I'm like, what?
You don't go to Chick-fil-A for grilled stuff.
That's not why you go to Chick-fil-A. It's like going to a pizza parlor and ordering a salad. I'll have the salad. No, give me a pepperoni.
Well, not only that, too, but like, you know, we were just talking about the smell of the Lysol on the microphones from Big D just a minute ago. That, to me, is how the grilled Chick-fil-A has the best nuggets. Hands down, done. But if you get the grilled ones, it kind of tastes like they're soaked in Lysol. There's a weird thing to it.
I think the grilled nuggets are good.
The
regular
nuggets are heavenly. The grilled nuggets are a pass.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Not what you're there for.
No.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the pizza thing. I didn't even think about it. I went to Joey's the other day, you know, my favorite pizza place. And there's some guy who sits down with like two gladiators. And the woman with him is eating.
His name is Bubba.
Yeah, he's eating a salad. She's eating a salad. And I was like, are you taking up a seat at Joey's to eat a salad? Like, it was so crowded, and I'm waiting for a seat, and this chick to eat. No, get out. Just go. No. Go sit in your car.
No, that's not why you're there.
Nope.
It's going to a fancy steakhouse and ordering fish. I don't understand people sometimes.
Well,
I mean, Carson, maybe she doesn't eat meat, but whatever.
You eat fish, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. So she would go to a steakhouse and eat fish.
And eat the fish. But...
crime.
Not as big.
Remember time we went to that fancy steakhouse? It was you and Kathy D and me and my ex-wife, and she ordered a filet mignon at this fancy steakhouse mignon.
Wait until he gets back from Japan. He's gonna be like,
it's gonna be awesome.
He's gonna say foray. I'm gonna be like, no, Patrick, you can't do that.
Dude, yesterday, so here's how bad my Chick-fil-A thing is. I went to Chick-fil-A to get breakfast, and while I was there, you can order on the app, you can order just extra filets. The little Chick-fil-A, you know,
patties,
whatever, okay, chicken breast. So I ordered a couple, and I put them in the fridge, and then we have the tortillas left over from last week that Chris Marquez brought us. So we have these Marquez Bakery tortillas, so I heated up some tortillas and my Chick-fil-A chicken patty, and I made a Chick-fil-ito. It was delicious.
Maybe they should market that.
Chick-fil-ito is a thing.
Suggestion box time. Yes. Chick-fil-ito, I think, would be
a huge
seller.
And I didn't have
any
cheese or salsa or anything. You put some of that on there, maybe some beans. I'm just saying, Chick-fil-ito, it's a thing.
What is the level above red for Chick-fil-A?
I don't know, but I'm going to get there.
I told you.
There is no level above red on
the app. Is there not?
Okay. Not yet.
He was saying about the black card.
There is a black card, but you can only get it if you go talk to the manager.
Right.
Well, guess what's happening at the day one when they open this new
app? Are you going to open up your app, walk in, and go,
are you
going to
stand in line? Are you going to wait in line overnight so you get that free Chick-fil-A for a year?
No.
He won't have to wait in line because he's got the red card. He can just show up. He can be like, hey, I've made my order. Gimme.
Yeah. Right. No, but they do the thing where if you're one of the first 100 people, you get it for free for a year.
What?
And so people camp out. We don't know. How do you not know this?
I didn't, because I've never seen the Chick-fil-A open before.
They do a thing where it's a whole big party. They hand out the little stuffed cows. And when those doors open, if you are among the first 100 people, you get free Chick-fil-A for a year, which basically equates to, I think you get a coupon for a free sandwich for like once a day.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome, though.
Let me tell you right now, this is going to cause problems for me. Vivica does not like Chick-fil-A. She does not like fast food. She thinks it's ridiculous that when we talked about it last time, I got in trouble. I got have you been eating Chick-fil-A and not telling me? Well, in my defense, you didn't ask. Okay. So now she asks. She'll specifically go, what do you eat for lunch today? And if I say, oh, I had some chicken, where'd you get it? Dang it. Dang. She's learning. She didn't used to ask the question.
Because she's wised up to you.
Didn't you go like a six-year stretch without eating fast food?
I still haven't eaten any outside of Chick-fil-A. Nothing else. I'm just saying. No McDonald's, no Taco Bell, no nothing. I don't eat. I haven't eaten any
How
of it in 8 years.
How do you get along without eating Taco Bell?
8 years, dude.
Taco Bell is like, that's a staple.
I know. I used to live off of it. How do you think I got this fat? Taco Bell and McDonald's are my jam, and Wendy's. I
What's
love
funny
Wendy's
is you go to Taco Bell.
I like them all.
The worst thing for you at Taco Bell is the taco salad, which you'd think, you know, that it would be one of the best. It is one of the best.
You know when
flavors.
I had to quit? When KFC introduced that sandwich that was made out of fried chicken instead of bread.
The double down. Yeah, double down.
Whatever. They're like, we're going to take two fried chicken patties and we're going to put cheese and sauce and bacon in between them and like one piece of lettuce because, you know, who wants that? And then that's the whole sandwich. And then they started adding things to it. Like you could put other things inside. Like we'll put a hamburger patty. Like they didn't get there, but they should have, you know, in between two chicken breasts. And that was it. That was when I got up to my biggest weight ever and went, I can't eat this stuff anymore. I have to stop.
I'm at my biggest weight ever right now. And I'm trying to do the paleo thing. And like Patrick offered me some food before, whenever Vivica picked it up. He's like, hey, you want something? I'm like, man, no. And I'm really sweating this Japan trip because
can't be
I don't know what I'm
going to
eat.
You can't go to Japan and
not
eat
no,
rice.
You're going to have to just eat food in Japan.
I'm sweating it, though.
Why? This is a very special thing.
Also,
I mean, it's an amazing thing you guys are part of.
We're eating at the
but...
commissary or whatever. With whenever we,
Well, they'll have the meat there at the commissary.
I don't know what we're going to eat, whatever they have. You know.
I don't know. So I think I may, I've been good for a week, and then I went, you know, this is terrible timing. I started this the wrong week. I should have just stayed where I was, eaten terrible for another week, done the Japan trip. Like, I don't even know, like, this is the bad thing. When we get on the airplane on Tuesday and we're flying after the show to Japan, I'm not going to eat for like 8 to 10 hours before that because I have a phobia of using the bathroom on an airplane. So not only am I going to be stuck on an airplane, but I'm going to be miserable.
We're going to be on an airplane for like 12 hours.
Yeah,
I know.
You're going to have to.
You're not going to go to the bathroom on an airplane?
No, man. I freak out about it. I don't like bathrooms on airplanes, and I don't know why. I've never...
I don't either, but when you're on an international flight, like...
Yeah, but Big D has flown with me for 20 years. Have you ever seen me use the bathroom on an airplane?
Not once.
Ever.
Ever.
It freaks me out. Like, I have it's weird. And you know what part of the phobia is, especially for a number two, is that when they open the door, the smell would waft through the cab. Look at Carson. Carson's over there freaking out. But I just don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy
You're right. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
I'm just so big.
So I would worry
I can't, you know, situate things.
Well, we're on our flight, it's not going to be small.
The bathroom?
Yeah.
Is the first class bathroom bigger than the regular bathroom?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never I'm more happy about that than I am about the big seat.
I would like to say thank you to the USO for treating us amazing. Everything up to this point, what a class group of people. I mean, everything they've done is first rate. And yeah, you mentioned they're going to fly us out there like first or business class. I don't know what it is, but
it's business class.
It is amazing. They're treating us so wonderful and I'm so stoked that we get to go and do this, but I'm also stoked that I'm not going to be sitting in between somebody wedged in like the last time I flew to Asia, where I was wedged in between three people in, you know, it was terrible.
You mean like on the way back from game night where Carson and I's, you know, bodies were merged together that we had to, D had to peel us apart because we spent 2 hours on a plane literally stuck to each other?
Well, you know, when you have things like that, the skin starts to grow into each other.
I know.
Like people who drop pennies into their broken arm cast, and they come out, and the penny is stuck because the skin has grown around it.
Oh.
Have you not seen that?
No.
Oh, it happens. It's crazy.
One of the very first things that on maybe the third day I was ever on the job, which was almost 20 years ago, we interviewed a woman who had a pork chop bone embedded in her butt.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, she sat on it.
She fell down years before, fell, and noticed that she had hurt herself, but she just, you know, it healed, so she didn't think any of it. And years later, went and checked, and she had a pork chop bone stuck in her butt.
In
the butt cheek.
I read about somebody on the internet.
No, I know what you're saying, yeah.
I read about somebody, because I was reading, like, firefighter horror stories and all that kind of stuff during training, and I read about somebody on the internet who had sat on the toilet. They were bariatric. They were a large patient, and they couldn't move. So they just stayed on the toilet, and they had everything brought to them on the toilet, their food, everything. And this person ended up getting very ill and had to be taken to the hospital, but they couldn't get off the toilet because their skin had grown around the toilet seat. They had not moved off the toilet seat in all that time that they became fused with it. So the firefighters had to take the toilet seat apart. And they went to the hospital with the seat still attached to them.
Oh, dear.
Yes, that happened, according to the internet.
Sitting on the toilet. Sitting on the toilet.
I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, wherever they went, they were sitting on the toilet.
I found the... I found the tape of the pork chop lady, but unfortunately it has music under it because it's an old tape, so we can't play it on the podcast.
Oh, gosh.
Because we're the only people on podcasting who follow the rules.
We follow the rules.
Hey, thanks, Dane. Dane loves my mustache. Thank you,
nobody.
It's my homie.
Did you get Carson to make you a shirt that says Stuck the Stash?
No. She made your shirt, and I didn't want to just, be that guy. Because she made my shirt for 80s night, too. So,
which was great.
It was.
Tiffany Maltour.
Yeah. I thought about bringing that to Japan because, I could probably sell it there. Somebody would be like, oh, I love Tiffany. Because, they're big into American stuff.
Yeah, they are.
And,
there's
in 80s, there are, 80s cafes, apparently, where they... it's in Back to the Future where they go to the 80s cafe. I'd like a Pepsi free or whatever he called it.
You got a Pepsi, pal. You're going to pay for it.
I was looking at some videos last night online on YouTube about just Japan and travel videos and things you need to know. One of them is that it's considered rude to walk and eat or drink at the same time. If you're going to eat drink. Yeah. If you're you need to stand against the wall and eat. There's no one's going to say anything to you, but they're going to look at you kind of seriously. So don't eat and walk.
Well, when I was in Japan back in the day, I was sitting in an airport and you cross your, the way guys cross our legs, we don't cross our knees. We put our foot up on our knee, but you can't direct that at a person. It is an insult if you're putting the sole of your shoe towards the person next to you.
Oh.
Yeah, so you have to be careful with that,
too. What if you're at the airport?
That's where I was. And I had a guy who was just staring at me like I was the devil. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. All right.
Crazy. Big shout out to my firefighter bud, Adam. What up? He's watching the podcast right now. Hey, this is William Shatner.
I thought William Shatner was pretty pretty good. I wasn't as into it as you guys were.
Because you're not a sci-fi guy. I mean, but you got to think he's more than just... Captain Kirk, William Shatner he was Rescue 911. He was Boston
Legal. He was the Dodgeball Chancellor.
He was the Dodgeball Chancellor?
Wait, Patrick, was he in Dodgeball?
Yeah, he was in Dodgeball.
Well, how come you didn't mention that?
I know, I'm so angry with myself.
I actually talked to him about the Twilight Zone. Because he was in a few episodes of the original Twilight Zone, which everybody, there's a few that people know. And then
this was off the air with us. What did he say?
Yeah, no, I was just like, because we actually were talking about Twitter, and he said, well, it's amazing that somebody like you discovers me through Twitter. And I was like, oh, don't get it twisted. The Twilight Zone is my favorite show ever. And he's in an episode with a jukebox that keeps repeating time. And he's got the one with
the famous one where he sees the gremlin on the plane.
Because I was like, I don't just know you from the gremlin on the plane.
Not even going to Japan.
But I also took the opportunity to ask him about the hot guy from Outlander because they're friends.
Oh, your bud.
Yeah, I was like,
you had William Shatner.
And I asked him about Sam Heughan. Yes, I did.
Outlander, a show he's not even on.
I asked him about Sam Heughan.
Oh, okay.
So, but what did he say? What's the word?
He's such a great guy. And he gave
his number.
I was like, can you FaceTime him or what? He said, no, he gave me a sweatshirt for my charity. Does that horse charity thing? And he said he gave me a sweatshirt that he hadn't washed. And we got thousands of dollars. I go, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, there's some lady right now who is extracting DNA
from
that.
She's trying to Jurassic Park it.
Yeah, she's...
be me. It's fine.
One of my friends told me a story. So William Shatner, before he was here, he was on the Grand Ole Opry last weekend. Now, we've all been backstage. Carson, you've been backstage at the Opry, right? Backstage at the Opry is really kind of weird. People have dressing rooms, but they leave the doors open most of the time unless they're actually changing. And everybody just kind of walks around talking to each other.
And
so
people pop in
randomly. Like Dustin Lynch just standing there talking to Mark Chestnut or whoever's there that night. It's like a cool thing. And every now and then, these new artists will get off stage and there'll be someone standing in the wings like Gene Watson or Larry Gatlin or whatever, and they'll go up and they'll take a picture with him. I see it all the time. Because when Luke Combs gets off stage and he sees, you know, Ronnie Dunn or whoever, Tracy Lawrence there, he's like, oh my goodness. And they want to take a selfie with him. Sometimes it works the other way. Sometimes you get one of these older acts, he wants the hot new act, he wants to get a picture with him. According to my buddy, Friday night at the Opry, never seen more artists line up to take pictures with someone else on the Opry because it was William Shatner. Everyone wanted to get a picture with William Shatner.
Yeah, because they didn't have to fight the crowds at Comic-Con to go.
They didn't have to pay for the picture at Comic-Con.
Here he's thinking, it'll be backstage, it'll be fine. He said he'd never been before, so it'll be, you know, what backstage, it'll be fine. No, he got swarmed by super fans backstage.
That's funny. Yeah. And here you guys are. Do you mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, can I get a selfie? Meanwhile, you know, Hunter Hayes is like, dude, Captain Kirk, take a selfie. Like,
all right,
you know.
So are you ready for
whatever.
This? What do you think William Shatner charges for a photo at the cons?
I'll say $100.
I'm going to say $150.
Patrick?
No, $50.
I am showing, now this is in 2015. Somebody said they paid $90. For a photo with him in 2015.
Probably 100 plus. Probably,
yeah, because Norman Reedus, to get his picture at Walking Dead conventions, is like 100, 150
now they
bucks.
Don't
I thought he was more
directly.
Than Norman.
The convention pays them to show up, and then the convention charges you for upgrades so you can get a picture or an autograph or whatever. So
he was super cool, man. Weird thing. Like, I was worried because, you know, we've all met, and I'm not going to name names. Everybody wants us to name names, but I'm not. But we've met heroes of ours, like from our childhood or whatever, that have not lived up to being cool.
Brian
like you would
Creasy
imagine.
Was terrible.
Really?
Yeah. He bought. Aww. Yeah. He was not cool to me.
Who was that?
Oh, remember that time you met
no,
that?
No, I wasn't sure that? I heard the name.
Well, it's funny because another guy who played for that same team, who was a Hall of Fame quarterback, was a turd to me too.
Also, he's a football player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww.
Brian remember Greasy that time we met that news anchor in the airport and he was really kind of a jerk?
Yes.
I don't mind.
He's kind of a jerk now, though. Like, he's kind of more. Like, he was cool back then. We all thought he was kind of cool.
We got to see what everyone else saw, 10 years later?
Yeah. Yeah. Back then, we were like, oh, man, he's such a cool dude. And then.
Now he relaxed and was like,
he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, punk.
But on the news, but for the longest time, everybody
he
was
came
like,
off
he's,
as everybody's friend.
Yeah, he came
really
off
smooth.
As everybody's bud, and we're like, oh man.
Oh,
so we
you
ran
know
into
Carson
him.
Because
oh,
he
Carson,
went to
you
college
know.
With you, sort of.
Oh,
oh yeah,
really?
No, he's a you know, yeah. He's kind of a.
I bet he and I would get along though.
Yeah, you would because he went to the same college.
He was like, yeah, well, no,
you notice
no,
how when I said somebody went to Carson's college, like that's the only guy, that's the guy. They all know.
That's now we know. Yeah, that's like I'll always tell people about the worst. Band meet and greet I ever did.
What was it?
Which was Papa Roach. And this is when I worked in rock radio and we had a bunch of winners show up. And it was like, they're playing on a Tuesday night. They're like, well, we need the meet and greet at 11 in the morning. So you're asking people to take off work to meet Papa Roach. All right, fine. And these people show up, bless them, took the day off from work. So, and they're like, all right, line up against the wall. They're going to come through. Don't ask for selfies. We're going to take a group picture. There's 10 people. You couldn't have taken 10 individual pictures, or even if you had whatever.
I wonder, though, if that's not road managers.
Well, it was
or
the tour
manager.
So what do I do? So the tour manager leaves to go get the band, and I go, all right, listen up. You guys are each going to ask for a selfie. You're each going to, because the band is not going to tell you no.
Right.
And so I had
met those guys once. They were really cool.
They
Bubba
came by
did
the studio.
Too.
They were just, huge fans of ours.
Yeah.
The
and that's
singer,
why I
dude.
Always say to people is that was the worst meet and greet I ever did. Is it the band's fault? Possibly not.
Yeah.
But that's what was going on. And I was very irritated that people showed up at 11 in the morning and you're telling them you get a group photo with you and 9 people you don't know.
It's. Meet and greets are weird, man.
They're
even
so
the
weird.
People who are the nicest, like Dolly, I've told this story on my podcast. Dolly Parton is the nicest person you will ever meet. And she will do her very best to make you feel like you are special for 15 seconds. But that's all she can spare because there are 100 people in line. And she's only got 30 minutes to do this. So you got to get 100 people through a line. It is a factory in there. But you know what? Dolly Parton owns every one of those moments because she's awesome. Bocephus, not so much.
But that's
what
makes
him magic.
That's
the only other one I've done.
That's part of the Bocephus magic, though.
My favorite meet and greet story is Bocephus because he didn't react to anything anybody said. He kept his arms crossed And no matter what you said, he just went, that's nice. It was the best, my favorite moment backstage ever. Bo Sivas.
Yeah, but you know, Patrick actually capitalized on it because he kept his arms crossed the whole time. Mm-hmm. And he was like this. So Patrick decides, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand with my arms crossed right. So we look like
we're posing. So it looks like we're doing a thing.
We're just exactly. So smart.
And you best. Get the mean look on your face like you're trying to act tough. Yeah. And you take it and it looks like you're both acting tough. That was really smart.
You know, I had time to think about it. I was at the end of the line. There were a lot of people in front of me. And I was like, I think I can make something out of this.
Hank, you're the best ever.
Oh, my. That's nice.
Hank, I named my baby after you.
Every single person. That's nice. Every single person. It was so great.
But
the whole
he didn't.
Time.
But it wasn't like he did it just to people. He did it to a certain. Yeah, like there's Patrick's.
Oh, he did it to record label people who were there. He did it to Thomas Rhett. So they wait till everyone else is out and they bring Thomas Rhett back so they can introduce him to Hank because they're playing the same festival.
It's a great picture, man.
And Thomas Rhett, it was there with Rhett Akins, his dad, and he's like, Hank, it's my boy, little TR, and we're real excited, and he's closing the show tonight. He just won the ACM. They were all blubbery, because it's Bo Sivas, man.
Yeah, it's Hank Williams Jr., and for those who don't know who Bo Sivas is.
Thomas Rhett is like, oh, Bo Sivas, man, it's so good to see you again, and I just love you. I can't believe we're sharing the same stage, and I'm not kidding you. Hank just went. That's nice. And he never uncrossed his arms, and he didn't move. It was
Did
just
he
like,
ever
go
look
ahead.
At him?
No, he has sunglasses on, man. You don't make eye contact. He's there. He was wearing a hat that said Icon on it. And I mean, what else are you going to do? It's Bo Sivas. And if anyone's hearing this, I am not knocking it. Bo Sivas can do whatever he wants, and it was awesome.
To me, that would be the coolest. Like, we've had him on the show, but we've never had him in the studio. I would love to have him in here, but I know it's never going to happen because he's like, he doesn't need.
But you know what? When we have had him on the phone, he was awesome.
Yeah,
every
time. One of the best guests. Like, super crazy cool.
I
would love to have him in here.
One time, he was jumping through the phone during that interview. He was so on. You know, when he turns it on, he's on.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Bo Sivas.
By the way, whenever we are on the USO tour to Japan, this next week we will not be doing a podcast. No. We can't.
We're not going to have. There's so many reasons. One is we're not going to have Wi-Fi access like we do here. No. So uploading the podcast from Japan where we're going to be is going to be next.
On the
to
program
impossible.
We use to upload our podcast, literally only exists on the laptop in my office. So like I'd have to find a way to send the giant file back to Carson to load. It's just
so the day your laptop dies is the day the podcast dies.
We can get it installed. I'm just saying we don't. It's not like we do it on. Some people do stuff on the internet. But we don't do it that way. I need a specific program to load it. So.
Speaking of, if you get a chance, would you please give us 5 stars, whatever you're watching or listening to the podcast on? It really does help us. I mean, it's a little. I know it's kind of a pain to go and do that, but if you would, that it means a lot to us. And
You're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review because it helps.
Yeah, it really does. It helps us and kind of gets the podcast seated at a higher place. So when searches are going on, you know, you're always wondering, well, why is this one popping up? It's awful. Well, it's because, you know, people go and do that. They ask you to do, put 5 stars, make a comment. And we've never done it
until recently.
About a month ago. And so hopefully you get a chance. If you can do that, that would be really appreciative.
And I also want to say this. I'm a little nervous about the Japan thing because this is our first ever USO tour to actually be. I mean, we're like the feature. It's like if Robin Williams was going on a USO tour, it would be Robin Williams and then a bunch of other people with him. We're actually
it's
that.
Big D and Bubba's game night. That's the name of the USO tour.
I'm a little nervous because, again, you know, we're a morning show here in the States, but we come on at what time do we come on over there? Like
we used to, but not anymore. The last 2 years, if you don't recall, they delay the show so that they get it in the morning, too.
Oh, okay. Really?
Mm-hmm. Especially in the Pacific. Some people, if you're listening in other parts of the world, in Europe, I think there are still some places that run it live, so it's in the afternoon. But like in Japan, they were getting the show, and it started at like 8 p.m.
Well, I was going to say, I know in the Middle East it's live because I'll get people checking in, you know, from different bases.
We were on
bases.
From 8 p.m. to midnight in Japan, so I think they moved it to mornings.
Okay.
So they tape it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool then. That's cool.
It's kind of cool.
except they get the Friday show on Mondays.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's right.
That was the weirdest thing. They get it on Saturday morning.
Well, I used to do whenever I lived in Guam, everything because we were over the dateline as well. Mm-hmm. We would watch like everything would be the day after. So the Today Show is actually yesterday's show all the time because everything had to be delayed to get the most recent one on. Like we would watch Sunday afternoon football early in the morning on Mondays. And then Monday night football would be like in the middle of the night on Tuesday, some weird wonky time.
Think about it. Even like the Super Bowl, which is kind of early, it starts at 5 o'clock. It's coming on.
It's like a 15-hour difference.
Yeah, it's
or
8 o'clock in the morning in Japan.
Yeah.
The next day on a Monday. That's kind of cool, actually. Wake up Monday morning, watch the Super Bowl.
We will be sending updates, you know, pictures and videos and whatnot to our social media.
Yeah, so if you don't already follow us on social media, go ahead so you can see all of the stuff that we're going to post.
Yeah, you can follow at Big D and Bubba. Then you can follow us individually if you want at Radio Big D, at Bubba Radio, and at Radio Patrick. Carson on air. Carson is staying here. She's going to help with some stuff behind the scenes and on the air.
We're going to miss you.
Yeah, we are.
She's not real sad about it. Nah, Carson did not want to fly across an ocean.
That's the thing. You guys are like, oh, we'll miss you. Guess what? If I'd gone, you would have come back and gone, you got to get rid of this girl. I can't take her. 17 hours of her panic attacks. I can't. Yeah.
Having just sat next to you on two flights, I agree.
What's the furthest you'll fly?
I've flown to England and Italy and stuff.
So if ever we do something in the future in England, Italy, anything
like
that.
Yeah, actually, I was planning on going on this trip. It was a whole thing that I didn't get my passport renewed in time. That's on me. That's the thing. I'll go. I'm just not a lot of fun to sit with.
No.
As my friends, my family.
I'm vouching as the one who got to sit next to Carson.
Yeah.
Every time the plane would even so much as go, she would go, and then I thought I was bad. But of course, in her defense, I was on a Xanax. So I
didn't
care.
Yeah, but so was I. I took half your Xanax.
Oh, that's right.
I remember getting on a flight coming back from England. And the steward, whatever, he could tell that I was already, like, we hadn't even taken off. And he just looked at me. He's like, would you like me to bring you some wine? I'm like, yes, please. And he just showed up with three bottles. Because I think his hand
was
like.
Three mini bottles or three big bottles?
No, three mini bottles.
Three full bottles of wine.
And yes. he's like, 15 glasses. I was like, what do I owe? He's like, no, don't worry. I'm not going to charge you for this. I can tell what you're going. And here's my mother going, thank you.
That's crazy.
Everyone else is like, thank you.
I don't know how, like, I couldn't imagine you guys, because I've never taken a Xanax in my life, but I've seen Patrick, how he gets all happy.
It's not even happy. It's just,
no,
don't
you do. You
care.
No, but you do. You get very happy. That's what I'm saying. You don't care. You're like, I have no problem sleeping on a flight ever, as you know.
I used to have no problems at all, and then I had a panic attack in an airport in like 2000. And out of nowhere, nothing went wrong. Some switch flipped in my brain. And now you can't turn it off because people are like, oh, you can. Like, no, I can't. I get on a flight. I have anxiety. I'm freaking out. Every time you hit, like you guys would agree. Our flights back and forth from New Orleans were smooth. They were great, right? Like they were. And I mean, at one point I wake Patrick up.
Yeah. I had fallen into a drug-induced nap and Carson managed to wake me up. Just because the plane had gone.
They came on and they go, flight attendants, please take your seats. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going down. Like, I'm holding onto the tray table for dear life. Like, it's going
to
do something.
Wakes me up. She literally popped me on the head to make me wake up. Like, what's
so
going
glad
on?
You're not going on.
I told you. This will keep our working relationship intact until we have to go on another flight.
Anyway, we're looking forward to it. And again, follow us on our social medias. Coming up, we've got the interview with the man, Captain Kirk. Guys are pumped.
You said Kurt.
I think you said Kurt.
No. I never know if it's Kirk or Kurt.
Captain
it's
Kirk.
Kirk.
Kirk with a K.
It's what Kirk Cameron was named for.
James Tiberius Kirk, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. If you're watching on Facebook, you need to go to any podcast app that you have and subscribe to our podcast. And remember to rate our podcast as well. That way you can hear the William Shatner interview. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast apps, You've already been told what to do because you're awesome and everybody's cool. Are we good? We good?
Yep.
We good.
Bye, everybody. Next time we'll be talking to you. It'll be from Japan.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
No, we're here on Monday.
That's okay.
Oh, that's true. And Tuesday.
This was the podcast, but
I just got excited.
I know. Go ahead.
Okay. Are we done?
Yeah.
Third time.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. For but real that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio
at least until Tuesday.
Every day.
It was the podcast.
Man, William Shatner's joining us in the studio. Good to have you in here, Mr. Shatner.
Well, it's familiar territory. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah.
Big D.
Yeah.
You got a knife in your hand.
Yeah, in the suite.
Is that meaningful to either one of us here?
No.
It's a switchblade. What?
Someone
don't make any mistakes.
It was a gift.
It was a gift. It just arrived today.
It could be
maybe you're going to cut the cake.
Sometimes it could be a 9mm Glock. I have a lot of times it was hanging around it.
I was going to say,
like Patrick here and Bubba are
He's
so
making
excited.
Fun because I've never been more excited. I've been doing this job 20 years. I've
and you're
never
excited
been more
now?
Excited.
Like
you got your arms
right
crossed.
Oh,
and
my legs are shaking. I'm
No, no, that's just you're beating a rhythm there. And you look totally phlegmatic.
I have never made breakfast for anybody ever in the studio. One time, but that was Brett Eldridge, and I actually made him make his own. Yeah. You came in today. We had you with tortillas and cheese and butter and all
and
that
a cup
stuff.
Of tea.
I know. I traveled. Elizabeth and I drove in and the unknown is we had to be here for this show, and the unknown is traffic. And the how fast the car will go,
right.
What the driving time would be, and so we didn't eat. Well, now I've eaten thanks to you, and I feel much better.
Oh, and by the way,
I put one
slice
of cheese on each tortilla, and when I handed him the plate, he said, "Is this all the cheese? What are you saving the cheese?"
I went to get the cheese, and I dropped it on the floor.
What? Yeah.
Dropped the cheese on the floor. Okay.
Did you count to three?
I counted to two. Bent down with my sore back as it is, scooped up the cheese and put it back on the tortilla.
Like a real man.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's how you live to be older, is you get all the germs in you.
Oh,
that way
we're going there. Are
no,
we?
I'm sorry. My son kind of went through this weird germ stage. And I said, here, let's go outside.
What?
I said, come outside. I said, get in prone push-up position. Okay, so we're on the driveway. And I'm like, now do what I do. And I licked the ground.
Oh, God.
And I said, now do it. And he's like, what? I said, you're so worried about germs. Watch. You're going to do this, and we're both going to live. And he did. And you know what? I broke that germophobia thing.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. We did that.
I've never heard of that.
Of course
have you
haven't.
Printed that
he's
one up at all? Lick the driveway and get over your germaphobe?
Good Lord, man. So anytime he ever does something like, I go, dude, remember the time you licked the driveway? He goes, yeah, you're right. We're still alive. We're good.
That sounds like a great Western song. You got to write that song. I licked the driveway and lived.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
I licked the driveway and lived.
By the way, this album, you've got a country album out. And,
talk to Jeff about that.
And Jeff Cook, of course, the Jeff Cook from Alabama is in the studio with
country
us.
Country Music Hall of Famer.
The one and only, the Jeff Cook. Jeff, I haven't seen you in...
Don't stop.
Still don't see you. There you are. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. A lot of people know that we made an announcement. I've got Parkinson's, but I'm not letting it slow me down.
Good for you.
To do this project with Bill.
Well, good.
I just didn't want it to be all about that. I just tell you that. We get that out of the way, then we talk about music.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad we got that out of the way. So you are, Bill's in your house, right, recording this album?
Well, wait a minute. You can't call it a house. It's a castle.
Oh, he's loaded. I mean, this guy's ridiculous.
Well, he's got more money than...
it's ridiculous.
Actually, isn't it a castle? Game. I heard it is a castle, right?
No, it's a castle.
It is a castle.
Like you have turrets and everything?
I have turrets.
Turds and Turrets. That's the name of another album. And he's got a studio nearby, and we recorded it all at his studio. So we were isolated in a castle that Alabama bought.
So you were a big fan before this project came
years
about.
Years and years ago, Jeff and I met, and Jeff personally contributed to children and veterans being helped by that charity.
Nice. Sweet.
I am so geeked out right now. You guys don't understand. William Shatner sitting like 3 feet to my right. I don't know what to do.
Yes. What were you going to say about geeking out?
I just can't believe.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break because we have so much we want to cover here. Jeff Cook from Alabama and William Shatner from, well, everything.
Oh, my
TJ Hooker. We're going to come right back and we're going to talk more with both of these awesome dudes in just a moment.
Because of the album.
Yes.
Hey, in the studio with us, William Shatner and Jeff Cook. Of course, Jeff Cook from Alabama put together a new album. It's called Why Not Me? And
not to be confused with the judge, Why Not Me?
It's not the same song. Probably not the same.
No, different songs.
See, that comes as news to me.
Oh, you didn't know that.
Why Not Me sounds like unique, but it can be confused.
There was a song called Why Not Me on a Rainy Day? Why Not Me when it's your way? Why Not Me?
Doesn't sound at all like our song.
Well, I hope that's the case. Yeah.
Not nearly as good as the Jets.
Right.
Bobby, you got the album.
I do.
Let's listen to a little bit. This is, what are you playing here?
Can you please play I'm Too Old to Be Vegan?
Oh, well, I don't have the whole album. I have just the single.
We do.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I sent you the whole album.
Oh,
and it's also
that. I'm on it. Here we go. Too Old to Be Vegan.
Turn it up.
You did what?
I said turn it up.
Oh, turn it up.
Excuse me, miss. I didn't order this. It looks like something from the abyss. I don't think I'll be eating this. It came from a freaking plant. It's not bleeding, and it's not dead, and I can't eat something that's never been red. I mean, tell me, what kind of a restaurant did I walk into? I won't, and I can't.
He's too old to be vegan.
I'm too old to be vegan.
He needs a steak and fries.
I need my shake, steak, and fries.
That's so good.
If I don't get my daily dose of meatloaf, I'm gonna die. Eating lettuce and veggies is like getting wedgies. Does it look like I'm teething?
He's safer as a heathen.
I'm too old to be a vegan.
Did you guys rhyme veggies with wedgies? Is that what I heard there?
Somebody did.
The writer did. We didn't have much to do with it.
That's some high art you guys got rocking out there.
I love that. That's my life.
Yeah.
So you can get this album. It's available pretty much anywhere. You can get it wherever you get your music. You can download it. It's called Why Not Me? Bill, you know, you've done a lot. I mean, we talk about, you know, we're joking about T.J. Hooker and, of course, Star Trek and all that kind of stuff. But people don't realize you've done a stage show. You've done
music.
Like
a one-man show, yeah.
Like a one-man show. You've done movies. I mean,
Twilight Zone.
At some point, do you
get confused?
No, do you finally just go, like, why aren't you on a beach somewhere? Like, why are you talking? Why are you doing
this? Why are you still
this?
Working? Is yeah, that what you're still, saying?
Yeah.
But this isn't working. You guys are facing these microphones every day. You got to come up with how many hours?
5 every day.
5 hours. That's work. I mean, you sweat it out.
But see, this is
you got
work
4.5
us.
Hours and look at each other and you say, we got another half hour. What are we going to do? But for Jeff and I, when we made the album, these were wonderful songs that we both loved. We're in a sort of ecstatic state. Getting a laugh is like the crowning glory for anybody who's entertaining. That laugh means you've connected.
Yeah.
Because you can feel an audience go cold. You can hear
it. We feel it every morning.
Yeah, I don't know about on the radio, but you know, maybe between the 4 of you guys that you think, oh, that didn't work. But an audience goes cold and it sounds like timpanis. So when they laugh, it's the tinkle of magic.
It is the tinkle of magic.
Can we use that?
Patrick's going to have that on his back tattooed by this afternoon.
Sounds like a bumper sticker.
Laughter is the tinkle of magic.
Tinkle of magic. William Shatner and Jeff Cook joining us in the studio. And Bill, I know you do, you know, all the Comic-Cons and all that stuff. And
well, don't use the word all. An occasional.
Like every now and then.
Oh, you don't do them. I thought you did them every year. You don't do one every year?
Oh, one every year, yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I've never been to one.
And, well, you ought to go.
It's a shame, dude.
These guys would go.
It enriches you.
Okay. Is it
and enriches me, by the way.
Do you get tired? Like, does when people come up to you, like grown adults, and they're dressed as a Klingon,
right,
and they're talking to you?
Yeah.
The first time you saw it, were you like, "Oh my God, what is this guy doing?"
Yeah. And the second time, and by about the third time, I was trying to tell them that it was pretend, and you ought to get a life.
Thank you, God, I'm so glad.
No, they're having fun, and as a result, we're all having fun.
Get a life. What are you people doing? It's a TV show.
but there was that thing on like Discovery or History or whatever it was a couple of years ago. William Shatner changed the world, or how you changed the world. And literally, they boiled down so much of our lives, our tech, our daily everything that came from Star Trek and the things that, you know, cell phones and the doors at the grocery store that opened themselves. All that stuff came from Star Trek.
Yes.
It was all your direct fault, everything I did.
There was a moment in the Cincinnati airport, and I was flying in there, so it must have been many years ago, because Motorola had given me one of those StarTAC phones that flipped open.
Right.
I'm standing in the middle of the Cincinnati airport, and I flip this phone open to talk on the phone. And several people had gathered around.
You could hear.
And they started laughing. And I, you know.
I didn't realize that Star Trek was only on for four seasons.
Three seasons.
That's it.
If you had asked me, I would have said that Star Trek went on for 30 years.
Well,
in syndication.
Other iterations. Well, no, not only syndication.
I mean, just the regular show. It seems like it was always on every day.
You're talking about the original series.
Yeah, the original series.
There were cities that would get television stations from surrounding cities, so there'd be an overlap. And there was one city I remember that had the show would come on five times in a day different television stations in the in the neighborhood.
Do you ever wear any of those full one color costumes that you have on the show? Do you ever just break that out just for
can't fit into them? Little small on me now. They must have shrunk, don't you think?
Yes, they did.
You probably put them in the dryer too long.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, they're polyester, I think, and that just
that rots.
Yeah, I'll tell you this.
And
I'll tell
you, of course,
you,
so do I.
What? Do you know? You want to know what your direct William Shatner connection is with the Big D and Bubba show? Bubba, tell him.
I was just going to say, like the lights in the background, all the flashy stuff that you see going off in the background, that's all because I woke up in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep, so I flipped the TV on and Star Trek was on.
Yeah.
And instead of watching the show that night, you know, sometimes you're half asleep, all I watched was the lights
in the background. Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, this is so great. It's all pretend and it's beautiful.
You were stoned out of your head. You were smoking that stuff. The blinking lights.
So I was inspired to put blinking lights in here, just like the Enterprise.
Is it true that you inspired the sound of the doors?
Do Foley work for the audience. That's steps and things on the background. The guy holding the door. See, there was a guy backstage, so that we in rehearsal we'd say, "All right, the captain's going to go and go into the elevator," and so they station a stagehand to pull the door open from behind the set. So the lights are hot, rehearsals are tedious, and invariably that guy fell asleep. So I'd approach the door and crash into it because he hadn't opened the door.
Because it's not a real automatic door.
And my back would be to camera, so I'd go, whoosh.
Wow.
Can I be a total
fangirl?
You already have been.
No, I know.
You mean more so?
More than this. No, and I'm sure, and I wouldn't do this if you make jokes about being around for a long time. And so I would normally want to be the guy who goes, when I was a kid, but I'm going to do it. I was 7 years old. I went to the movies to see some cartoon or something you take little kids to. And I saw a poster. It said Star Trek IV. And I knew my dad loved Star Trek. So I said, oh, is there going to be a movie about Star Trek? And he said, yeah. I said, can we go see that? And he said, well, first we're going to go and watch some other movies. So we went to the video rental place and got the big VHS case. We got Star Trek II. and Star Trek III and watched the. I remember being 7 years old and crying because you were crying because Spock died. And I remember watching Star Trek III and the whole thing. I did. I was a kid, man. I would probably
you
still
would
cry.
Cry today.
Why are we laughing
because
at him?
Because
he was being touched by pure art.
Yes. It was art. That's beautiful, man. And so we had to do all that so we could go see Star Trek IV. So to this day, that's my favorite movie. If I'm sad, I watch Star Trek IV. It's great. Yes.
You should try metaphors. Star Trek V is a beautiful
movie. It is very good. And I know you directed that one.
Oh,
and it's
you know
very
that,
good. It really is. I love all of those movies, 1 through 6. Okay, maybe not one. Two through six.
One of the things that I'm doing is I'm on tour several weekends this year with Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And we play it, and I'm in various cities all across the country. We play the movie at a big theater with a large screen, big sound, and then I come out and we discuss anything that the audience wants to discuss.
I thought you were going to say, and I come out and I yell, "Khan!" And that's it. And I walk away.
You know, what I open up by saying it's embarrassing coming out because the movie was made 35 years ago, and then I come out. But yelling Khan and disappearing sounds even better.
That's seriously, if you did that, everybody would be happy.
Yeah, there are people right. who would pay money to. I'm one of them. I would go see that. What's going to happen is.
Appearing tonight.
You're appearing
tonight,
so we're going to watch Star Trek
Khan.
2.
Khan.
William Shatner's going to walk out afterwards and just yell, "Khan!" And then he's going to leave, and I'd be like, "Here's my money."
And can I just add, I know you're in here, and you probably had nothing to do with it, but throughout the years, the whole Star Trek series, from the original series through the movies and everything, has had some of the best music ever. And I just want to say thank you.
It is fabulous.
Yep.
And I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I'm trying to isolate what instruments they're using, and you don't know because it's creaking sound and it's drums and it's but it adds everything. Like, perk your interest. Something strange is going to happen, folks, musically.
Well, it's like Jaws. Jaws is a great example.
And Jaws is a perfect example of that, exactly.
So the album is called Why Not Me. It's available now, and you can get it. It's got how many songs on there?
What? 12 songs.
12 songs on there? 12 songs?
Yeah, there's one called I Hate to Waste Good Beer, and I am totally down for that one later on.
What is the one, Patrick, what's the single? What's the one that...
Why Not Me?
Oh, okay. You got that one on? I want to hear some of that. This is Why Not Me with William Shatner and Jeff Cook.
And this one has Home Free and Neil McCoy on it.
That's right.
I can see the need all around me. I can feel the loss of a dream.
Somebody needs to shine a light for the world.
Is that Home Free?
I think that's Home Free.
Honestly.
Holy cow.
He couldn't be with us today.
Bill would have killed you.
Yeah, he's home alone.
Would it have killed you to have one part in there and you just yell Khan right in there? Just kind of hide it in there. You should have,
why not Khan?
Why not Khan? You should hide you yelling Khan in every one of these songs and people have to go find it.
Almost like the...
We would have one customer.
Yeah, Patrick.
I would buy that.
Patrick would definitely buy that record.
What's the name of that yell that's in all the movies?
Oh, the Wilhelm scream.
The Wilhelm scream. It could be like the Wilhelm scream.
No, what's the Wilhelm?
What?
Oh, no,
we
no,
are
no,
not
no.
telling.
And I watch a lot of television.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Are we really telling William Shatner what the Wilhelm scream is?
Tell me what right the now. Wilhelm
All
scream.
Right. All right. This has been in almost every movie. Almost every cartoon.
What?
Almost every
Not
everything.
Every, but it's been in hundreds of things. It's
thousands.
Been in thousands. You know. Okay.
Thousands of productions.
Now, let me give you the background on it. It started from 1951 from the film Distant Drums. And in this, Distant Drums was a Western. And in the scene, this guy gets hit with an arrow and he screams. He screams.
And he falls off the horse.
He screams and falls. So it's kind of like a falling scream as he's getting hit.
Let me hear a falling scream.
Okay.
That's it.
They use that.
Could you that sounded like the guy.
Yeah, try these headphones on.
Had,
it's in everything.
Stones.
Play the compilation.
I don't have it with me right now. But
a compilation of?
You can watch
Wilhelm
videos.
Scream in different movies and how it's just in all these different movies.
Well, wait a minute. But it's the same scream.
It's the same
scream. So it's the recording that you just have.
Yes.
But they play it somewhere.
They use it as a sound effect.
Like
everywhere.
All right. So listen, this is a compilation of all of it. It starts with the very beginning from 1953.
So it's all these
it's in all these it's in Star Wars.
Okay, so
it's
like this is like a well-known secret, and I never knew
yes.
the secret.
Yes. Yeah,
here that it is in me, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's appalling for me.
Yeah,
yeah, it really is.
I'm
an aficionado of film. Mm-hmm. I love watching films, and not to know that is like not knowing your ABCs.
It's like a sound editor's inside joke. Like they slip it in, and most people don't notice.
I think they teach it to them in college. They're like, find a way to put the Wilhelm scream in, because if you can, you're going to be a legend.
And why do they call it Wilhelm?
Because that's the name of the guy who was the character shot in the first time it was used.
He was shot with an arrow?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's in everything.
Speaking of those J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, do you just hate Chris Pine? Or is it like a thing? When you see him, do you just go, I did it better?
I played me better.
He's tall. He's handsome. He's rich. I mean, come on. He's a superior being.
Oh, yeah, you did it better.
He's far in advance of any of us, Chris Pine. He's wonderful. He says.
Life isn't.
What a man. What a stud. What a stud you are.
I'm getting a fist bump. It's exciting fist bump from William Shatner on that. It was awesome.
All right. So go pick up Why Not Me, William Shatner and Jeff Cook. The album is out. Again, there's 12 songs on it.
The album is sensational, we think. Go buy it where
wherever you buy everything.
Wherever you get your albums. Yeah,
get on heartlandrecords.net for a really good sale.